Genesis 19, verses 23 and following. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And all the people said, amen. I'm going to speak into our collective consciousness and prophetic destiny from the subject, don't look back. I want you to look over at your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't look back. All right, lift your hand to the Father and pray with me. Sweet Holy Spirit of the Living God, we need you now more than ever. And we invite your presence, your spirit, your power to become obvious, evident, and undeniable in this moment. Let everyone experience a touch of grace, a touch of goodness, a touch from heaven, so that we leave here inspired. And we leave here enabled, and we leave here equipped, and we leave here on another level. Take us to that next level even now. This is our prayer in Jesus' mighty name. And all the people said, amen. One more time, amen. So this time last year, I released 4 messages that were designed to prepare us for 2023. In those messages, I focused on what it would take to experience more victory in 2023. In the first message, I challenged you to forgive. And hopefully we explain that forgiveness is not a gift that you hand to your enemy. It is a gift that you hand to yourself. Because when you consider the time you lost, the energy you lost, and the emotional drain and strain that it takes to harbor a grudge, that it takes to nurture a grudge, then you are gifting yourself by turning that person over to God. It is not a way of giving anyone a pass. It is a way of saying that what you did is not going to block what I'm doing. Wish I had some help in here today. And I told you to forgive them for the same reason that Jesus forgived his crucifiers. He said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And I realized that it wasn't that they didn't know that they were doing something wicked. It was that they didn't know that they were doing something that was helping Jesus to do what he wanted to do in the first place. Forgive them because they don't know that they are helping my prophetic destiny. They are helping me to fulfill my assignment. They are helping me to carry out my commission. And if we're honest with ourselves, we would never take bold, courageous steps were it not for haters, backbiters, liars, backstabbers, betrayal, sabotage, rejection. All of those things push us along a path. And they help us to make decisions we should have made a long time ago, but we've been procrastinating and dithering. But someone comes along and convinces you, you know what? I'm done with this. So forgive them because they don't know that they have helped you. If anything, they'll help your prayer life. I forgive you because before you, I had forgotten how to pray. Now I've remembered. challenge you to forgive, because you cannot carry bitterness into a greater destiny. You cannot carry a grudge into the next dimension of God's plan for your life. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. But wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And if it's wide and it's broad, then it's the merchant's entrance. It's where you can carry your caravans, your wagons, your camels, and all of your goods through the wide gate. But the narrow gate means you have to leave some stuff behind. Okay, it just won't fit through the way that leads to life. In the second service, I challenge you to forget some things. Because you see, there are some things, I'm going to put it this way, you cannot drive forward looking in the rearview mirror. Oh yeah. Like I did when I was doing my driving lessons. My driving lessons, the instructor said, mirror signal maneuver. I was like, mirror. He said, could you look through the windscreen, please? Right? Because you're moving forward, but you're looking backwards. I have found that your life swerves in the direction of your focus. So that if you're looking forward, you go forward. But if you're looking back, you go back. And if you're looking around, you go around. So you literally have to choose to forget the things that are behind you. And why we find it difficult to forget is because we are emotionally attached to things that are behind us. I wish I had some help in here. Oh, I'm going somewhere rather deep today. We are attached to things that no longer serve our purpose. And so we find it difficult to forget. But the Bible says forgetting those things that are behind, reaching out to the things that are before. In other words, you have to believe that your tomorrow is going to be much better than your yesterday. And I can let go of yesterday in pursuit of tomorrow, because tomorrow's going to be better. I'm not going to miss what I had when I get what I'm getting. It's only when you lose sight of where you're going that you remember in vivid color what you had. Ooh, I challenge you to forget. I then challenge you to focus, which means you have to be very selective about what you pay attention to. Because focus is attention, and attention is a form of universal currency. When we say pay attention, actually, you are purchasing with your attention what you're paying attention to. So that if you pay attention to what is negative, you attract what is negative. But if you pay attention to what is positive, you start to attract those things. Focus really means pushing other things to the side. Pushing other things to the side. And God has so uniquely designed our eyes that we have peripheral vision and we have focus. Isn't that right? Peripheral vision means I'm aware of everything that's going on around me, but I can choose to zero in on one thing and achieve that clarity. So I challenge you to focus on where you're going. Focus on your goals. Focus on your dreams. Focus on what God has promised you. Focus on your revealed destiny. Focus on it. And then the final thing I challenge you to do was to fight. Fight for what? Fight for your future, because the battle is on. And there are forces in this world that are at war with your future and at war with your revealed destiny. So you are going to have to become a warrior, a soldier, and begin to fight. I come back this year to challenge you again to forgive some people in your life. Forget the things that you thought you couldn't live without. Focus on what God has promised you and fight for your future. Can I hear an amen from somebody? Now, when God is calling you to another level, He's not giving you an idea. He's giving you an instruction. When God calls you to another level, He's not giving you a choice. He's giving you a command. When God calls you to another level, He's not giving you an option. He's giving you an order. And at times, we like to receive God's purpose as a good idea, as a choice, or as an option, whereas it is never a good idea. A God idea is never simply a good idea. It is always an instruction. And the instruction is time restricted. What that means is you don't have the rest of your life to figure out whether you're going to obey. Sometimes you have a window that is an hour, a day, a month, a year, but that is your window, and you have to take action in that window. Amen? So I feel like the window is open, but I do not believe we'll reach the end of 2024, watch this now, without the same window closing. I believe that you're going to have to use 2024 to make the decision to forgive, forget, focus, and fight, or you are going to experience something that I'm about to describe. See, Lot was under pressure in Sodom. Yeah, before the fire, before the brimstone, Lot was under pressure. How do we know this? We know this because angels came to his house and said, "You need to get out of here because God's going to destroy this city." And when the men of the city saw the angels go to the house, the men gathered, a mob gathered. Now I need to tell you about the mob in Sodom. These were savage, they were cannibals, they were barbaric. They were the vampires and monsters of their day. And an evil mob had gathered outside the house. And the mob started with, "Bring out the men." That's called conversation. But when Lot said, "No, no," they rushed the house and started kicking down the door. Now, let me tell you something. The pressure you're under now may be just talking to you, threatening you, but there comes a point when that same pressure rushes the door and is now kicking the door down. And you are now under so much pressure where you are because the evil that's outside is slowly making its way inside. The evil that you thought you were safe from outside is slowly pressing its way in, and the more you delay is the more chance that it's going to devour you. So, the angel says, "Lot, stop packing. Stop putting away your computer. Stop saving your files. Leave the computer, leave the clothes, leave the bag, leave the furniture, leave all of the memorabilia, leave all the sentimentals. It's time to go now." "But how are we going to go? The house is surrounded. The monsters, the vampires, the cannibals are outside bashing the door, bashing the window. How are we going to go? It's too late. And the angel says, no, it's not too late, because here's what I'm going to do. Just act like you know the story. I'm going to blind them. So the angel blinds the men. And I have found out that it's sometimes in your life when God is giving you a window to get out of where you are and into where you belong, he will blind your enemies so they cannot see what you're up to. Sometimes no news is good news. There's no news because they can't see you. And you have to lose your obsession with popularity, notoriety, front and center stage. Because sometimes to get you out of what you're in, God has to cause you to disappear and become invisible. You can't see me because I need to get out. You can't see me because I'm not busy showing off. I'm busy getting out. God will give you a season where the thing that's coming after you is blind and cannot see your movements and cannot see your strategy, and they cannot see you. And sometimes you get offended by it. You're making a post. No one's clicking like. It's okay. They can't see you. They don't notice you. They don't need to see you right now because God's about to do something with you. And if they saw it, they would interfere with it and they would try to abort it. They can't see you. Come on, everyone do like this and say you can't see me. That's right. Tupac Shakur. He said, the blind stares of a million pairs of eyes, looking hard but won't recognize that they'll never see. Don't ask me how I know that. I told you I had a pass. Anyway, watch this. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't see me. Because sometimes you have to operate undercover. And sometimes you have to enjoy your season of obscurity. And you have to enjoy being in the secret place of the Most High, where you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Sometimes you have to realize that God's got you obscure for a reason. He's hidden you for a reason. People ain't talking about you now for a reason. People don't even remember you now for a reason, because the angels had to blind the men. Now, here's what the angel said. The angel said, go up to the hills. I'm going to say that again. Go up to the hills. What is the angel saying? The angel is saying that the only way out for you is up for you. I wish I had some help in here. So that, Lot, you're not just leaving the place, you're leaving the level that the place is on. You have to go to another level if you're going to survive the judgment, because the judgment is coming on the level that you're living. You are living too low. You are living too low, and you have to go up to another level. I'm still going somewhere. I'm still going somewhere right here. You have to go up. The only way out is up. Now, a wise man who is actually here today once said to me that if you ever see an eagle in the mouth of a dog, the question is not, why did the dog attack the eagle? That's not an important question. The answer is clear. The dog attacked the eagle because the dog is a dog. Because that's what dogs do. Well, not all dogs, I know, but they all got house dogs and everything. But a dog, that's not the question. The question is, why was the eagle flying so low? And I never forgot it when the wise man said to me, why is the eagle flying so low? Because there's a level that the dog cannot reach. And so if you operate above the things that are seeking to attack you, they'll never get hold of you because of the level that you're living on. And when an eagle comes for prey, the first thing the eagle will do is take it higher. Because the higher you take it, the thinner the oxygen, and the more likely it is to die from the altitude. God says, Lot, you have to go to another level. And that another level kind of, it speaks to your intellectual level. It speaks to your emotional level. It speaks to the level of your ambition. It speaks to a linguistic level. You're talking too low. You're thinking too low. You're feeling too low. The way you are, you're on a level that's about to be destroyed. What I'm going to preach right now is revelation. I guarantee you ain't heard this nowhere. The Bible says that he went up to Zoar. Everybody say Zoar. You know what Zoar means? It means little, little place. Because Zoar was a little town. In the hills, a little town in the hills. And I thought about that. And I realized why it is some people will never go up to the next level. The reason you'll never go up to the next level is because you would rather have a lot on a lower level than a little on a higher level. You don't have the humility to go up, because when you go up, you're always going up to a little compared to the lot that you left behind. See, what Lot himself left behind was a house, a business, prosperity. We know this because the plain, the valley, was fertile. Lot chose it when he was given a choice as to which way to go. He chose the fertile plains. Before the fire, it was lush, it was fertile. So he had a lot of prosperity, he had a lot of significance and influence, he had a business, he had a house, and God's saying, go up to the next level. But on the next level, all we have is Zoar, a little town. And I've been used to a big city, and God's trying to get me into a little town, and I'm not sure I have the humility to be small on a higher level rather than to be big on a lower level. See, whenever somebody leaves the world of employment and says, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, they have to go up to Zoar. Because you have to leave the security of the job, you have to leave the perks and the privileges of the job to go up to a one-man office, sometimes working out of your own bedroom. You have to lose the security of a monthly check that is predictable to go up to a new place where the checks are not predictable. I'm now dealing with a little, but it's a little on a higher level rather than the lot that was on the lower level. And some people don't have the humility to survive the loss of status and security and privilege and perks in order to go up to a higher level. But God wasn't giving Lot an option. He wasn't giving him an idea. He wasn't giving him a choice. He was saying, this is your life or your death. You are going to leave your lot on a lower level and accept a little on a higher level if you're going to survive. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have a little on a higher level than a whole lot on a lower level that's about to be destroyed. It's going to be so comprehensively destroyed that there'll be nothing to go back to. Anyone ever been there before? You think, oh, the good old days. They don't exist. You go looking for your old school. It's demolished. It's flats. I remember one time I used to think about the good old days of Black Horse Road. Oh, when we had the big church in Black Horse Road, 1,000-seat auditorium, all of the ante rooms, a 3-story office block, games rooms, everything. There's more room than we knew what to do with the room. One time I decided, let me go for a drive. Let me go driving around Walthamstow. Let me go find Black Horse Road. Let me go find... Actually, it was quite an interesting situation because the church was on the corner of Hooker's Road and Priestley Way. And people used to laugh about that all the time. They used to say, I don't get the connection. But we had to, I decided, let me drive around to reminisce about the old days. Hey. We drive around and reminisce about the old days. And I drove around. There's a block of flats. It's gone. It'll never be again in that place. So I decided to go to Chingford Road. Let's go look at Chingford Road. It's a block of flats. There's no going back. Decided to drive around Broadmead Estate. Don't look the same anymore. Your past, that level, can be so comprehensively destroyed that there's nothing to go back to. But if you would have stayed there, you'd have been destroyed with it. It gets worse. Not only did Lot have to go up to Zoar, the little town, he was even afraid in Zoar. And he went up from there to a mountain and lived in a cave. Because the higher up you go is the more willing you need to be to take a little part of something big rather than a big part of something cursed. If you're going to go up, you have to be willing to take a little part of something big. And you have to choose it over the big part of something cursed. This is our number one problem. Our number one problem is that we would rather own 100% of nothing than 2% of something. And we'd rather have a lot in a lower place than a little in a higher place. But that was the choice that Lot had to make. But it wasn't just Lot. It was Lot's wife. And Lot's wife wasn't ready to transition from a lot to a little. Ladies, help me out here. Guys can often move from the flat where they're evicted and into a tent. But wifey ain't coming with you. We're not going to share the same room on my single bed. No. No, that's your song. That's not her song. She ain't singing that. Lot's wife is not prepared to go down. Down in standard in order to go up in level. Should I tell you the truth about business, for example? Do you want to know the truth about business? You go into business the first 3 years, you're going to be broke. What? Really? No, Bishop. No. It's just gonna. Yeah. Yeah, you really go into business, the car will go down a notch. The lifestyle will go down a notch. Some of the luxuries will disappear for a while because you are investing in a better future. It's not that you can't afford it. It's that you have chosen to put the money elsewhere. And it takes humility to accept a little on a higher level for a while, rather than to try and hold on to the lot that we had on a level that's going to be destroyed. And so Lot's wife, she looked back. Angel said, don't look back. What did the angel say? Look back at you. No. What did the angel say? Don't look back. She couldn't help it. She couldn't help it. She looked back. When she looked back, she turned a pillar of salt. She literally. You go to the Dead Sea today, there's a big stone, there's a huge stone. They say, oh, well, what is the name of that stone? Well, that's Lot's wife. What does a pillar of salt mean? It means now you're going to stagnate. You're going to freeze. You're going to cease making any progress. You're not going to get what you looked back for. You're going to get exactly where you are. No progress. I can think of no worse a curse than no progress. Like, to me, the idea of being in the exact same place next year as I am this year, that's a nightmare. 5 years down the road, no progress in no facet of life, that's a nightmare. But that's what happens when you move forward looking back. You freeze. This is a real sound effect service today. You freeze when you're trying to move forward looking backwards. Now, I'm speaking, I think, to every individual here. Every individual here. But collectively, can I talk to ICANN community for just a minute? You want to freeze? Then look back, which biblically means look down, to the level you used to be on, and start missing the much you had on a lower level, to where you're now despising the little you have on a higher level. See, when you meet in a hub, it's a little on a higher level. I wish I had some help in here today. And some folks who will come to Ecclesia won't go to the hub. Why? Because you will not go to Zoar. You're not going to leave Sodom and go try to start a new life in Zoar. You're not willing. You don't have the humility to participate in a little thing on a higher level. Because you're still pining the death of a big thing that was on a lower level. We know that the new thing is on a higher level. How do we know the new thing's on a higher level? How many of you know the new thing's on a higher level? It's a little on a higher level. How many of you know that? We know that because a young man came out here today and gave a spoken word. Because another young man came out here today and blew our minds with his song. Because two young men led the service that would otherwise in Sodom would have just been sitting in the back of the church somewhere. Because another man came with his testimony of how God saved him from a reckless life, getting ready to start a street ministry in Ashford that's called a higher level. The participation, the engagement, the new talent and treasure that is coming out of our earthen vessels is evidence that it's a higher level, but it's a little on a higher level. Because only 20 people listening to you. Can only 15 people listening to you. Can only 35 people listening to you. But until you're ready to accept the little on a higher level, you're going to perish with everything that's going to die on the lower level. And I'm not here to be Mr. Negative. I'm just here to say that God himself is sick and tired with church as usual. Church as usual has not served his purpose. Church as usual has not advanced his kingdom. Church as usual has not snatched people like a branch out of the burning. Church as usual has not created succession for the kingdom of God. Church as usual has left a whole generation with superstars and celebrities and personality cults that will all fade away as soon as the personalities are gone. And God said, I don't want this house to operate on that level. I want this house to go to a higher level and begin raising up future leaders. But it's going to take some humility when your praise team is not as big as it used to be. It's going to take some humility when you don't have the musical backing that you used to have. It's going to take some humility when you don't have the sound system you used to have. It takes some humility, but that humility will save your spiritual life. It's a little, but it's on a higher level. And for that reason, I'm not looking back. I ain't going back to a big crowd full of talent that no one knows, full of gifts and callings that nobody knows, full of unctions and functions that nobody knows. I'm not going back to that. I'm not going back to church as usual when I've already done had a revelation that fire's going to fall on church as usual. You say, Bishop, that's a bit. Look around you. The only churches that are working are church unusual. With courageous leaders ready to do something different. Ready to take the risk of doing something different. And God gave us a revelation as to what to do different. And I speak to you, church family. Don't look back. Don't look down. Keep going up, and even if the town at the top is much smaller than the city at the bottom, keep going up, because you'll live in the town above, but you'll die in the city below. And when Lot's wife made a decision to look back, it put pressure on Lot. Because sometimes your own family will look back and assume that you should look back too. I love my family, but I am not going back for any of you. I love this house, but I am not going back for any of you. And I pray that you get a revelation today that there's no turning back for me. I'm going forward, onwards, upwards, higher ground. Even if at the highest place it puts me in a cave, I'd rather be in a cave in a high place than in a city in a low place that's getting ready to perish. Everybody up on your feet, please. Sweet Holy Spirit of the living God, we are so grateful for the angels that visited us and said, get out of this low place. Go to a higher place, to a smaller town in a higher place where you will be saved. Father, we've received that not as an idea, but as an instruction. We've received it not as a choice, but as a command. We've received it not as an option, but as an order. We've received it. We're forgiving everyone and anything that pushed us in the right direction. We're forgetting those things that we were so attached to. We're going to focus on our future and fight for it. Father, I pray for our partners that a fresh anointing, a fresh unction, a fresh wind, a fresh fire, fresh oil will fall upon our partnership until there is a renewal of strength and a refreshing of soul. Until we are re-energized and motivated and enthused and optimistic about what is next in the kingdom of God. I pray that you visit each and every one of us with signs and wonders, confirming to us that we are on the right path. Make that confirmation to each and every individual in your own special way. But bless us, Father, with an unction from heaven and a burning passion, desire, determination to keep on keeping on. Father, we'll walk in humility for a season. We'll walk in that humility. We're okay with a little on a higher level, because we've lost our emotional attachment to the lot that's on a lower level. Be glorified, be magnified, and bless your people is my prayer in Jesus' mighty name. And all the people said amen. Let me hear your amen like thunder. Amen.
You've been listening to a live sermon at ICANN Community Church. We hope that you feel inspired, informed, and empowered to take your life to the next level. We want to build a relationship with you, whether you attend ICC or not. Of course, we would love for you to visit or even to join. But if that's not possible, we can still stay in touch. Go to our website at www.icanncommunitychurch.com and subscribe to our mailing list for updates on special events which may be coming to an area near you. Until next time, this is Bishop Wayne Malcolm saying God bless you.